John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This was a common belief back then. If someone had any kind of illness or deformity or something, it was because somebody sinned. Of course, we know that's not true. You know, Solomon even said in Ecclesiastes 9:11 that time and chance happens to all. I mean, things happen. And it's not because someone in particular sinned. It's just the way the world works. And actually, it's the way the world works because sin entered into the world. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, referring to himself as the light of the world again. Just a little side note here. Jesus is saying that he needs to work the works of him who sent me. The night comes when no man can work. Again, to my friends out there who are scared of the word works because they think that that means we're trying to earn our way to heaven, I'm sure you understand that Jesus is not doing that. He's not saying, I must work the works of him who sent me so that I can go back to God and say, okay, my Father, I have earned my way back into heaven, right? No, this is simply his obedience. Works of obedience versus works of merit. Same with us. We need to work works of obedience, not works of merit where we can then say, God, you owe me. We could never, ever, ever do that. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the saliva. From what I've heard, this was a typical medicinal process, making clay out of spit. It's gross, but I guess back then it was common. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Therefore he went his way and washed and came back seeing. Now I don't know if this has more than one meaning, but you could certainly see it that way. This man was blind. God put medicine on his eyes, told him to go wash, and then he was able to see. Sounds very much like the process of becoming a Christian, doesn't it? You know, we were blind, then we heard the gospel, which is the medicine, and then we're washed or baptized, washed of our sins, and then we are able to see clearly. We're Christians. I don't know. I don't know if this has a double meaning or not, but you can certainly see that. Therefore, the neighbors and those who before had seen that he was blind said, Is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. Oh, it's not really him, because this man's been blind since birth. I know him. But he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how are your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man who's called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Yay, the Pharisees and scribes get to pounce all over him again for that. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. This guy's going to get really sick of telling the story over and over again. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath day. Are you kidding? Seriously, this keeps coming up. They keep wanting to get him for doing good things on the Sabbath day, as if doing something good for somebody is somehow violating the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such miracles? So, like with any group of people anywhere in any century, in any country, you've got your stupid people And then you've got those who use some common sense. How can a man who is a sinner perform miracles? He can't. If you can perform a miracle, a supernatural act, it is from God. And there was division among them. So they're arguing about it. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, that he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" So they wanted to verify with this man's parents. Is he really blind? Has he really been blind since birth? Because we just really don't want to believe this so-called miracle. His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know by what means he now sees. We do not know who has opened his eyes. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." He's old enough to speak for himself. Now, they did confirm, yes, this is our son. Yes, he's been blind since birth. He now sees. We don't know how. Go ask him yourself. He's a grown man. Plus, they were afraid. They were afraid. Let's see. His parents spoke these words because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man confessed that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Apparently, and it's kind of hard for us to understand today, but apparently getting thrown out of the synagogue was a huge deal back then. I think it affected like every aspect of your life if you were rejected from the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they did this because they were scared. Then again, they called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that although I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" This guy is probably rolling his newly healed eyes because I'm sure he's sick of telling the same story over and over and over again, and they're not believing him. He answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. For what reason would you hear it again? Why would you believe me if I tell you this again?" And then he throws in a little sarcasm. "Will you also be his disciples? Are you asking me all of these questions because you're so interested in becoming Jesus' disciples?" "Yeah, sure." Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Now, wait a minute. Why did the Jews know that God spoke to Moses? This has been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. How do they know that? How do they know that God spoke to Moses? Maybe because they have the Old Testament scriptures and they read them and they studied them and they saw the evidence that this actually was true. And yet they won't do it for Jesus. Interesting. Again, it all comes down to he doesn't fit their narrative. They don't like this lowly carpenter's son being their Messiah. No, this is not what we pictured. The man answered and said to them, "Why, here is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." This guy has some common sense. He's that half that has common sense. He is reasoning through this with them. You know, the only way that this guy could have performed the supernatural act on me is if he is from God, because we know that God doesn't hear sinners. He's not going to give a sinner the ability to perform some new supernatural act. Little side note on here, most denominations in the, quote, Christian churches teach the sinner's prayer, which is a completely false doctrine. You know, nowhere in Scripture will we see that all you have to do to be saved is say the sinner's prayer. And this is a good passage to show that God doesn't hear sinners. So you can't pray your way to salvation. That is not how God told us that we are saved. Nowhere in Scripture will you find just pray to God and you'll be saved. Now, what we have seen is believing, which of course indicates you would have to hear. You have to hear the word of God, believe it, repent, confess, be baptized. We've seen all that so far in Scripture. Nowhere have we seen the only thing you need to do to be saved is say the sinner's prayer. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. They answered and said to him, "You are altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? Do you think you are?" And they cast him out. So they threw him out of the synagogue, which, from my understanding, is going to have, being thrown out of the synagogue has a very negative effect on your entire life. Now, being that I live in the 21st century, I don't really understand that, but this was the first century. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who talks with you." "It's me." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see might see, and that those who might see might be made blind." Now, this might sound a little confusing, but I think what he's saying is, those that are blind spiritually but want to know the truth can see. And those who should know better, should know the truth, turn away from it and refuse to see. Now, we know he was just talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and other Jews that didn't want to believe him. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" I can just feel that that sarcasm, you know. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Again, this is a little bit confusing, but I think he's simply saying, if you were blind and you wanted to learn the truth, then you would learn about it, you would obey it, and you would have no sin. But you're having this attitude of, "We see, we know it all. We don't care what you say. We think we know it all." They're not going to have their sins forgiven because they're not going to believe and obey. And that is John chapter 9.